Well, praise the Lord, people. So good to see you in the Lord's house on a Wednesday evening after a snowstorm like that, an ice storm. It was icing for probably, I don't know how many hours, probably seven or eight hours. It was just sleet, freezing sleet on contact. But it's getting better. It's definitely getting better out there. And this, you know, this is like we're overdue for this, you know. So it's here. Winter's here. But we can't complain, folks. Listen, down south, people are dead from flooding, from tornadoes, and from a blizzard called Goliath. Dead. I mean, it's bad. The wrath of God is falling on this nation, I'm telling you right now. You just put on CNN or Fox News, and you will quickly realize the wrath of God is hitting America.
That's global warming.
Yes, due to, they just need jobs. You know, who was it that was talking about that? The terrorists. Oh, it slipped my mind now. It'll come back to me, though. But, you know, we're right there in the last days, and the Lord's fixing to come back. I sure am glad. And it's so good to have Sarah in church tonight. Amen? Doesn't she look terrific? Hey, hey, hey. Praise the Lord for sister. Yeah, yeah. Sister Sarah, the Lord has carried you through these last few months. It hasn't been easy. She's been in and out of the hospital. And now the Lord's got her a permanent residency at Hackett Hill. And I understand the staff is real good. My wife's one of them from time to time. And she's got her own room, and she just, I can't believe how good she looks. She just looks healthy and vibrant and ready to worship the Lord with us. Let's grab a hymnal, folks, and let's stand as we open up to 235. I'm glad the Lord never passes us by. Pass me not, gentle Savior. First and last, praise the Lord. Piano sounding good. Curse me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art falling, do not pass me by. Amen, Amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing tonight. Making a joyful noise to the Lord. That's what it's all about. We'll sing again afterwards, of course. But let's grab our Bibles at this time. And we are in our Wednesday night series of studies on Psalm 119. The longest chapter of the Bible. Amen. And Sister June, bless my heart. Miriam and I were making the pickups for church tonight, and she brought me a brand new worship CD, and oh boy, it's good. we were worshiping the Lord all the way to church, so we're properly prepared tonight. But what a blessing! Good godly music, you know, nothing like it. Folks, let's open up to Psalm 119. As we continue trudging along, we're in the hundreds now. Tonight, as a matter of fact, we come to verse 105. We'll cover 8 more verses. Now, look with me in Psalm 119 at verse 105. We come to the Hebrew letter Nun. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in mine hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of mine heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verses 105 through 112 and the glorious divine promises contained herein. Lord, we thank you for David's godly example to us. We thank you, Lord, that you grabbed hold of this man's heart. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit was upon him. And Lord, we thank you for the words of God that you delivered to this world through his pen. Father, these psalms are unspeakably glorious. And we're so thankful, Lord, that every word of every verse is for us today. And Lord, we're so grateful that thy word strengtheneth us. It sanctifieth us like nothing else can. And Lord, without your word, we'd be lost. We wouldn't know the way. But oh God, we're so thankful for this divine revelation that thou hast preserved unto all generations. And Father, we pray you teach us through it tonight by your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, church, tonight we come to the Hebrew letter Nun, which is the 14th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It also was used for the number 50 amongst the Jews. And here we find probably the most commonly used verse and most well-known verse of Psalm 119, that is verse 105. David, in it, first of all, David mentions two things. Look at verse 105. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, the use... He first makes mention here of the nature of God's word, and then he gives us the use of it in verse 105. So first of all, notice the nature of God's word in verse 105. He says, "Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a light." Now, here the psalmist declares clearly that this holy book is both a lamp and a light to the child of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that you've got the word of God to direct your steps? Where would we be? I'll tell you what. Me and the boys would be out at the ballroom right now. Amen. You know, slugging down a few. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ and his word that made the difference in our lives. I'm so thankful that it's a lamp and it's a light to my path. This is because the word of God discovers, light discovers, amen? It discovers to us concerning both God and ourselves. It only tells you about your makeup. It tells you about you. It tells me about me. And it tells me what needs renovation. It is vitally important because of the gross darkness of this world. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Hold your place. We're coming back. In Proverbs chapter 6, I am so thankful for this book. Look with me at verse 23. The son of David, Solomon, writes by inspiration of God. Verse 23. For the commandment, that's the word, is a lamp. And the law, that's the word, is light. Same two words as Dad used. Yeah. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I don't know about you, but I want the way of life. I don't want to go in the way of death. I had enough of that in my life. Amen. 27 years of it. And I'm so glad that he put me in the way of life by light and lamp of his word. Now, secondly, in verse 105, David, observe the use that we should make of this light and this lamp. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, here, notice the words feet and path in verse 105. Path indicates the general course of our life. Feet refers to the particular steps that we take in that way each and every day. Okay? So the light and lamp of God's word must guide and direct our feet in his paths. Go to Psalm 17. This book will keep you from the devil, from him destroying your life. And he does a fine job of it. He's had thousands of years of practice. Sadly, lives are being destroyed this very moment by the devil. But you and I, we have deliverance. Let me show you how we have deliverance. Look at Psalm 17. And drop down with me to verse 4. David says, concerning the works of men, that's unsaved, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Wow. Now notice there's another path you can take. It's the paths of the destroyer. Who's the destroyer?
Satan.
That's right, the devil. And he has paths that he wants you to walk in, but God has paths for us to walk in. Verse 5, here's how. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. You know what that is in verse 5? That's the grace of God, huh, Denny? That is the grace of God when David says, hold thou me up in thy paths, Lord. He's saying, I need godly power. I need divine grace in order to stay in your paths, Lord. I don't have the strength to do it on my own. Amen. Neither do you. But God has that strength for us. Amen? Oh, that's so good. Proverbs 4. Hold your place in 119 and go to Proverbs 4. I love this one. Look with me at verse number 26 of Proverbs 4. 26. Ponder the what? Path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He's saying, let the word of God direct your path and your feet in the ways of the Lord, in the will of God. Amen? It will, if we let it. You know, I'm afraid too many Christians today, they don't want to walk in those paths. They're saved, they're on the way to heaven, but they're not consecrated. They're not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You can be saved and not be a disciple. You know that. They're not spelt the same, as Ruckman would say. Now, secondly tonight, back in Psalm 119, notice David's holy vow, verse 106. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. You know what he's doing in verse 106? He's making a holy vow to God. Have you? I have. I've made some promises to God. But we need to be careful to keep those promises. Amen? Here, David, in verse 106, gives us three things to ponder. First, that it is good for you and I to swear allegiance to our Lord. Look at it. Verse 106. I have what? Sworn. He's saying, I swear to God I will keep his way. To vow that we are his subjects is a good thing to do, verse 106. Secondly, that we must not only vow, but we must also perform our duty to him. Look at verse 106. I have sworn, and I will perform it. See that? David says, I'm going to put action to my lips. I'm going to put action to my prayer, to my vows. And thirdly, that we must do our duty scripturally, not just any old way we feel like it, but scripturally. Verse 106, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. David says, I'm not going to do what I feel like doing. I'm going to do what God's word tells me to do. You see? You'll never go wrong going by God's word. We must swear allegiance to and live under that oath that we make to God. Go to Nehemiah chapter 10. Let me show you quickly a group of people who made a vow to walk in the ways of God. Now, the children of Israel have just come out of 70 years captivity in Babylon. They're rebuilding the wall, right? Look what happens here. They're under attack from Sanballat. That's a picture of Satan and his ugly bunch. And they make a promise to God. Look with me at Nehemiah 10, and go with me to verse 28. And we read, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands, that's the Girgashites, the Hittites, the Hivites, all those Ites people, unto the law of God. See what they did? They separated themselves from the heathen unto the word of God. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters. Notice the whole family's on board. Everyone having knowledge of God, and having understanding, that spiritual understanding. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse, and into an oath, cursed if they don't keep it, an oath, to what? To walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters, here's the oath, we will not give our daughters unto the people of the land, the heathen, nor take their daughters, unsaved, for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Now, what are they doing? They're entering into a holy vow with God. They said, we're not going to marry into the heathen. Now, this is scriptural for today. God's people are not supposed to marry lost people, okay? Now, many of us get saved after we're married. There's nothing you can do about that situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, you stay with that spouse as long as they want, even if they don't get saved, you're under obligation to stay. We understand that. But I'm talking for a person who is single and they get saved, then that person is not to marry a lost person, okay? Now, thirdly, tonight, back in Psalm 119, notice David makes a declaration and a petition in verse 107. First, notice his declaration in verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Wow. David says, you know what? I'm in trouble. I'm being persecuted. I'm being attacked by enemies. You know the feeling? Yeah, because we have enemies too. But our enemies are not physical. Our enemies are spiritual. Those demons are always after us. They're our enemies. But people are not your enemy. Now, they may consider themselves your enemy, but we're not their enemy. We want to pray them to Jesus. Now, church, listen here. David was constantly under attack and persecution. Why? Listen, because of his godly living. David was a godly man, and they didn't like it. You know, we've got a godly man running for president. His name is Ted Cruz. He's born again. His father's a Baptist preacher ordained from Cuba. And Ted Cruz is a man of God. They don't like him. They don't like him at all, especially on the left. You know why? He's godly. Too godly for them. Rubs them the wrong way. He's got the Holy Spirit, and they don't like it. Same thing happened with David. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Hold your place in Psalms. 2 Timothy 3. Now, there is a price to living a godly life. It's called persecution. But let me ask you a question.
Amen.
Is the persecution worth it?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah. Yes, it is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what's the next word?
Shall
suffer persecution. If you, now these guys on the TV, They're not going to tell you what I'm telling you here. Oh, send me a $1,000 seed gift and you'll be getting rich. You know? Health, wealth, and prosperity. That's all they know. They don't know what the Bible says. Because instead of preaching sanctification and godliness, they're preaching on get rich. You know? It's ridiculous. Why don't you send me your $1,000 seed, buddy, if what you're preaching is true? Look at it. In verse 12, you shall suffer persecution. Why? Because the devil doesn't like when you live for the Lord. And he's going to attack you through people, sadly.
Amen.
But this grace is sufficient, folks. Now, secondly, in verse 107, notice David's petition. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Now, listen carefully. I had a ball preparing this yesterday. The king here is asking God for grace. And so too must we learn to bring our needs and spread it before the Lord, like Hezekiah. Why? Because I can't handle it, but he can. Amen?
Amen.
That's the key to the Christian life. Knowing that you're unable, but God in you is able. So we come to him in prayer. Look at verse 25. Somebody read that. 25. No, 25. Anybody?
My soul cleaveth in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
Quicken thou me according to thy word.
Now, folks, let me explain something. The quickening that we're reading about here in Psalm 119, it's not the quickening of the New Testament where you're born of the Spirit. You're quickened from the dead spiritually. It's a quickening of God's grace. It's a strengthening of the will. Okay? It's a measure of divine power.
Amen.
This quickening that he's talking about. Somebody read us verse 88. 88?
Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth.
Yeah, now look here. David says, Lord, you quicken me, and I'll be keeping your testimony, the word of your mouth. That's why we pray for grace, so we can obey. Not so we can boast or brag or anything like that. 154, someone.
Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word.
Ooh, I love that. Because David says, Lord, I want you to quicken me according to your word. He's saying, according to what you promise me in your word, do it. You can claim God's promises, you know. That's what they're for. He wants you to. He wants you to claim them. Fourthly, tonight, in Psalm 119, notice David reveals two things that we must pray for in verse 108. First, acceptance. Second, assistance. First of all, observe his prayer for acceptance. Verse 108. What's the first word?
Accept.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know tonight, do you realize God doesn't have to accept you? God doesn't have to accept your prayer. God doesn't have to accept your gifts, your tithe. God doesn't have to. God doesn't need anything. He's eternally self-sufficient. He's the great I am. So David prays, accept, I beseech thee, O Lord, the freewill offerings of my mouth. Now, listen carefully. His prayer for acceptance. We too must seek God's acceptance of our offerings in prayer. Now, what is he asking him to accept? Look at it. 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings. Is he bringing a lamb to the temple? Well, he could have because it would have been biblical for him, but not for you and me. And it's not what he's saying anyway. Look at the rest of the verse. Of my mouth.
Amen.
Wait a second now. Time out, church. How can you, as a child of God, bring an offering to God from your mouth? Anybody?
Take a step.
Yes! In prayer and what else?
Praise.
Praise. Worship. Amen? Communicating with him. Those are offerings. Let me show you that. Go with me to flip over to Hosea chapter 14. In Hosea chapter 14. I love the book of Hosea because it reminds me so much of America. Hosea, they fell into idolatry. And it's so prevalent in America, the things that the children of Israel were going through in the book of Hosea. If you've studied out the book of Hosea, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In Hosea chapter 14, Look at this. Oh, verse 1. Oh, Israel. It's talking to God's people, not the heathen. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you what? Words. He didn't say take a bullock or a lamb or an he-goat. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. What is that? Take away all iniquity. What is that called? Prayer. Prayer for forgiveness, right? Look at it. And receive us graciously. More prayer. So will we render the calves, not of bullocks, not of goats, not of lambs, but of our lips. See what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to make free will offerings to God from my lips. God is not impressed with the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. He's not. He's not. Even told them in Isaiah chapter 1, away with. I put to your burnt offerings. I've had enough of them. He said, I don't want that. I want your heart. Amen? There's a big difference. Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. There's only one thing God's looking for from you and me. It's this right in here. The heart. It's all he cares about. In Hebrews chapter 13, look with me at verse 15. He says, by him, Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of lambs. No, that's not what it says. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Wow. Yeah. He spells it out loud and clear right here. You want to offer something to God? Praise him. Worship him. That's why, June, I'm so thankful. You brought that worship CD to church? All the way to church, the whole van. We were all just praising and singing to the Lord, worshiping him. We were giving offerings of our lips to the Lord. That's what it's all about. And I love that. Back to Psalm 119, though. There's something else. Secondly, in verse 108, observe his prayer. That was his prayer for acceptance. He says, Lord, accept my offerings of my lips. Now, secondly, observe his prayer for assistance. He needs assistance. Verse 108, Psalm 119, 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. David says, Lord, I need assistance, divine assistance from your Holy Spirit. I need you to teach me your word. Now, folks, here's the key to your learning the Bible deeply. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind, the spirit of your mind, with his words. And he will show you things in that book. Whew, Denny knows what I'm talking about. He's going to preach in a couple of weeks on it. But notice here that David, indeed, people, prayed and said, you and I need divine assistance in our daily lives. Look in verse 86. Somebody read 86.
All thy commandments are faithful. They prosecute me wrongfully. Help thou me.
Did you see the last three words? Help thou me. That's a good prayer, amen? That's in Psalm 12, David's shortest prayer in the Bible. Help, Lord. That's it. Two-word prayer. Help, Lord. Works every time. Sometimes we don't have hours to pray. You know, sweet hour prayer, we don't have that. But you don't have to pray. It's not the length of time you pray. It's the fact that you do pray. And here in 108, he says, Lord, I need your help. I need you to teach me what this means. And he will. Psalm 22. Back to Psalm 22. Messianic to the core. The whole psalm is about the cross. The Messiah dying for our sins, Psalm 22. But look what he says in verse 19. This is David writing concerning Messiah. But be not, verse 19, but be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to what? To help me. Haste thee, that means hurry to help me. And don't you know he does every time you pray to him? He's ready. His arms are open for you, and he wants to help you. Amen? We just need to ask. So many Christians say, I can bench press 350, and I don't need, I'm pretty strong myself. No, you're not. Spiritually, you're a weakling. How do I know that? Because I am. I am. Without Jesus Christ, I am nothing. I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. We need to know that. But fifthly, moving right along. Notice David shows us a contrast in verse, a great contrast in verses 109 and 110. We're about to see a great contrast. He reveals first that he was in danger of losing his life, but secondly, that he was in no danger of losing his faith. I like that. First of all, notice here that David was in danger of losing his physical life. Verse 109. Look at verse 109. David says, "My soul is continually in mine hand." It's about to depart. He's saying, "I'm about to die." Look at verse 110. "The wicked have laid a snare for me." What's a snare? The boys from Laconia know, because they trapping. They do trapping. And they know that you lay a trap, you're going to catch a bird. You know, you're going to catch some animal that you want to trap. That's what a snare is. The devil has 1,000 snares for you and I. He wants to trap us. Now, Saul attempted to kill David many times. The Philistines, Absalom, his own son, Shimei, casting stones at the king, and countless others wanted David dead. Beloved, you and I, like David, have enemies, spiritual enemies that hate us and want us dead. But they can't. We've got angelic protection against those enemies. But secondly, David was in no danger of losing his faith. He was in danger of losing his life, but not his faith. Listen, you can take everything, including your physical life, from a Christian, but you can't take away their faith, because it's inside. Amen? I love that. Yeah. Notice the little word, yet, in verse 109. "My soul is continually in mine hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I add not from thy precepts." Are you getting the picture? David saying, "Oh yeah, things are bad down here, but yet I'm trusting in you, Lord." He's saying, even though my life is in danger at every moment, yet I'm trusting in my Lord to take care of me, whether it be by death or by life. Go to verse 33 and read it, someone. 33.
"Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute, and I shall keep it unto the end."
Amen. Here, David says, even though I'm in trouble, I'm going to stick to my God unto the end, whether it be by rapture or by physical death. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Paul says to the Corinthians, "For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end."
Amen.
Paul says, "I got confidence in you, Corinthians. You're going to stay faithful to the end." You know, folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, sadly, as your pastor, that many believers are thrown in the towel, quitting. Pastors are quitting the ministry faster than any other profession. Why? The devil's having a field day, causing pastors to fall into all kinds of sin and pride and greed. I tell evangelists, they're falling like hotcakes. And folks, we need to pray for our spiritual leaders. Hebrews chapter 6. We need to stay faithful to the end, not just for a period of time. This is for life. This is for eternity. In Hebrews chapter 6, I like what Paul says here to the Hebrews about being faithful. Look at verse 11. He says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Do it unto the end. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't faint spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 1. Flip ahead to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." That's where the enemy attacks. "Be sober, and hope that's sober-minded. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, you keep on your blessed hope to the end. Don't give it up. Don't trade it for something of this world. Sixthly, back to Psalm 119. Next, in verses 111 and 112, David makes two holy resolutions. First, he resolves to make God's word his eternal portion. Secondly, he resolves to govern his entire life by that word. First of all, notice, he resolves to make God's word his eternal portion. Verse 111, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of mine heart." Wow! David says, "Lord, I don't only love your word tonight. I love your word forever. And I am taking your word, Lord, as my eternal heritage." You know what a heritage is? It's like an inheritance, right? It's what you stand for. It's what you're going to, your heritage. Now, listen carefully. David possessed a present satisfaction in God's word. And he also expected an eternal happiness in it as well. Go to Psalm 16. In Psalms 16, this is good stuff. God's word will keep you, delight you, strengthen you. Psalm 16, verse 5. "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." David says, you know, I don't really care what dad or mom leave behind for me when they die. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. What are you living for? What gives you joy and comfort and delight that you, when you think about, what do I really, oh, that antique car. Oh, that would be something. I refurbish it. You know, hey, that's great to do. It's a great hobby. But it's not compared with the Lord. Amen. He is my true portion forever, not just now, but forever. I love that. Now, in this resolution David makes in verse 111 is to make God's word his portion. Look at that, verse 111, back in our text. "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever." Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. But he says the same thing David says in different words. Asaph loved the Lord. And in Psalm 73, he gives us the key. Verse 26, "My flesh and my heart," that's outward man and inward man, "faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."
Amen.
Wow! Asaph could say, you know what? The world out there, it's just falling to pieces. Everything's going wrong. But God is my eternal portion forever. Verse 26. I love that. Psalm 142. In Psalm 142, verse number 5, we read, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." See, not just eternally, but right now. In this life, he is my portion. And he is my what?
Refuge.
I love that. Yeah. Thou art my refuge. What is a refuge? Begins with an H.
Day.
Hiding place, right? Thank you. It's your hide. It's where you're shielded. You're safe. It's like a dwelling place where you are protected. That God is my refuge. I love that. Now, there's one last thing we need to see, and we'll be done. The second thing David gives us here in verse 112, he resolves to make God's word his portion forever. Second, he resolves to govern his entire life by that word. This is a good one. Look at verse 112. Verse 112, "I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." There's that "even unto the end" again. Now, notice here in verse 112 that David, with full consent and complacency and with constancy and perseverance, he would perform his duty in holy walking without weariness. Notice the first five words of verse 112. "I have inclined mine heart." This is heart work, folks. You can't just know the word of God up here. It has to get deep down in the heart where it will affect your whole life. Because what you love is what you'll do. Amen? The heart must be involved not just the intellect. Go to verse 36. Somebody read us 36.
Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness.
Wow! Did you see that prayer of David? He's asking the Lord to incline his heart unto his word. That's a good prayer. He's saying, Lord, bend my will and cause me to love your word even more. Verse 80, someone. 80.
Let my heart be sound in the statute, that I be not ashamed.
Glory to God. There is another petition from David. I want to be sound. That's whole. That's without any leaks. In your word, Lord. Verse 161. Maybe this young lady in the front. 161.
Princes have prosecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word.
I love it. David says, Lord, I got problems, yeah. But my heart, look at that, verse 161. My heart stands in awe of your word. Don't you just, sometimes the Bible, the prophecies, the incredible treasures of God's word, it just makes you stand back and say, wow, what a book! That's what David's saying. He said, I'm standing in awe of your word, Lord. And finally, go to chapter 41, Psalm 141, I should say. 141 and verse number 4. He writes, now here he's asking the Lord to incline his heart not to something. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. That's a good prayer. Amen. He's saying, keep me from evil. To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. He's saying, Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. And he will. We pray in that prayer, and he'll answer that one. He wants to answer that one. Well, folks, what a blessing. Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. But let's repeat verse 105, because this is the most popular verse of the whole psalm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
Make it that light and that lamp to your daily walk, and you'll never regret it. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and as long as we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness. Lord, the darkness is so thick today, you can cut it with a knife, it seems. Lord, the works of darkness are prevalent on every hand. The occult, the cults, witchcraft, the New Age movement, the Church of Lucifer, it's all growing by leaps and bounds. The darkness. But Lord, we're so thankful that we have the light of Jesus Christ. And Lord, because of that light, your Holy Spirit within us, we shall not fail. We shall not faint. And we shall not cease to love you, adore you, and offer those sacrifices of praise continually, even the fruit of our lips, by Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Let's grab our hymnals. And we'll stand for a closing hymn tonight. Let's get over to 231, an appropriate closer for tonight. The song says, Lord, I need thee every hour. I've altered the words to every second. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. One, ladies. I need thee every hour, most holy one. No tender voice like thine can be far afar. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. That's for sure. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Mm-hmm. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thy need, thou blessed son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, folks. Good singing, and thank you so much for being in God's house tonight. We'll post this on the website, of course. And I'm going to ask Brother Denny Jr., to dismiss us in prayer tonight. Be careful on the roads.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for getting us here this evening. Mm. We thank you for the message you gave us. We need you. Oh, how we need you.
Mm.
For sure. Please watch over us as we go out. Please give us the opportunities for us to spread your gospel and be like unto you.
Mm.
As we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.